2 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 6 to verse 11. I know I've spoken on verse 6 in a previous discourse, but it fits in here and belongs here. It's all of a piece here. What we have here now is Paul setting out in a series of statements, in a series of challenges. He's setting out the distinctive glories of the new covenant in comparison with an unnamed covenant, which of course can only be the old covenant. The announcement of his subject is in verse 6. God has made us, all believers, yes, all believers, of course apostles, of course men who are elders, teachers, public preachers, but all believers are ministers, priests of the Lord. God has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And by a series of contrasts, punchy, pungent, sharp, clear, concise, powerful contrasts, he sets out the glory of the new covenant. The glorious ministry of the new covenant. That's what I entitled my book on this passage, on these passages. The glorious new covenant ministry. The glorious new covenant ministry. I've also written on these passages in several other books, particularly you'll find it in My Christ Is All and Sanctification in 2 Corinthians and Philippians. But now for a few brief remarks upon this passage. If you feel there's a note of attack in these words, if you feel there's a note of defiance in these words, then that's matching the apostle, because what he is doing here is taking on the law teachers, these men who have come to Corinth and said, now you believers must come under the law for salvation. And that means the whole shooting match: justification, positional sanctification, assurance, progressive sanctification, adoption, glorification, all of it. The law, the law. Now that's what these Judaizers were teaching. And that is what the Reformed covenant theologians teach today. They have ever since Calvin, who got it from Aquinas, from the Roman medieval church. What is it? The law brings sinners to Christ. The law sanctifies the saints. And it does it by whipping us into submission. What Paul does here with these Judaizers must be done to the law teachers. And I challenge all law teachers to face up to these words of the apostle here. Read them aloud and preach them and declare them and see what they say. Let me bring it to you. The old covenant, he doesn't mention it by name, but what else can it be? The ministry that brought death, he says. It was engraved in letters on stone. Now, what is that? Now, the Reformed, the covenant theologians, divide the law into three. The principal part being the Ten Commandments, the moral law, they call it. It has no scriptural justification in this at all. They say, of course, the deadness and the killingness is all to do with the other parts of the law. But the Ten Commandments do sanctify us and all the rest of it. Well, how do they face this text then? If the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, if that's not the Ten Commandments, what is it? That's not the moral law, of course. It's the whole law, the old covenant, encapsulated in the Ten Commandments. But let us go along with the Reformed for 5 minutes. Let us take it to be the Ten Commandments. Let us even, for the sake of argument, take it to be the moral law. Then what Paul says here is that those Ten Commandments, the moral law, if the Reformed are right, I'm sure it means the old covenant, full stop, but it was the ministry that brought death. How can it sanctify me? How can it bring sinners to Christ? It was engraved in letters on stone, and it came with glory. Yes, it came with glory. It was a glorious ministry. So much so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of Moses' face. But that glory was fading on Moses, and so was the glory of the Old Covenant, for God only added it. Galatians 3, Romans as well, will tell you the same. He added it for a temporary time, until the coming of the seed, Christ. Now, if the ministry that brought death, caught on stones, encapsulated on stones, engraved on stones, the letter was glorious, will not, verse 8, the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? The ministry of stones, the ministry of Spirit, the ministry that's killing, the ministry that is life. They both have a glory. The glory of the old was fading. The glory of the new will be even more glorious. If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, the old covenant, the law, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? And that's not just justification. Of course it is. But it's the whole salvation. For what was glorious has no glory now. Not for justification, sanctification, assurance, preparationism, as they call it, none of that. For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? I challenge all law teachers, read these words, preach these words, say what these words mean, face up to them. Let me just summarize. The old covenant was to do with the flesh, wasn't it? The new covenant is the covenant of the Holy Spirit. Read verses 3, verses 6, verse 8. The old covenant was an outward covenant, wasn't it? Written on stones. The new covenant is an inward covenant, written on the heart. 2 and 3, and verse 7. The old covenant killed, did it not? It spelled death, did it not? The new covenant is life. Read verses 3, 6, and 7. The old covenant was deliberately temporary, designed by God to be so. The new covenant is permanent. It remains. Now that's outside my passage. It's at the end of my passage. It goes outside. Verse 11. And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? There's the fading, and there's the lasting. And it comes again in verse 13. We are not like Moses, and so on, whose glory was fading away. Another point of comparison. The old covenant had glory. The old covenant had glory, yes. But its glory was lesser, and it was fading. The new covenant has a glory which, and the words are, exceeds, excels, being so much greater than the glory of the old covenant. Verses 7 to 11. Verse 9 tells us that the old covenant condemned us, condemned men. The new covenant is a saving covenant. And then verse 12, outside my passage I know, but it completes the picture, and verse 17. The old covenant spelled bondage. The new covenant brings hope and liberty. Those are the comparisons. That's how Paul takes on the law teachers of his day. That's how I do it now. But I don't want to be negative in that kind of sense. Brother and sister, this is our covenant. We have been saved under this covenant by the work of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We have the Spirit. We are married to Christ. Romans 7, the first 6 verses. We bear fruit for him and to him. We have the Spirit, the life of the Spirit, the life and the law of the Spirit, and the life in Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus in our hearts. Romans 8:1-4. We are without condemnation. We are holy, perfected in God's sight. We are slaves of Christ, married to Christ. We are in this glorious new covenant. Well, I've given my arguments against the law teachers. How about the positive? Let us get a sense of our glory, of our privilege, brother and sister. And let us use this ministry and exercise this ministry and preach and declare and live out this ministry. And what is this ministry? The ministry of the Spirit. The ministry of the gospel. The ministry of Christ. Christ himself. I wrote a book trying to show how the New Testament, the New Covenant, deals with antinomianism. I know what the Reformed teachers say. It's law, law, law. Do you know what the Bible says? The New Testament. Read it and say. It's grace, and that's what I call my book. Grace, not law. Grace, the gospel, life, the Spirit, liberty. What a phenomenal set of statements. Takes away our breath. My brother and sister, this covenant is our covenant. We are children of the new covenant. Let us live as children of the new covenant. Let us bask in the sunshine of it. But let us declare Christ to men. If we preach law to them, it won't bring them to Christ. If we preach law to them, it won't sanctify them. If we preach law to them, it won't assure them. It won't give them peace and joy. Hold before men the glorious new covenant ministry of Christ and his Spirit. It's a wonderful, wonderful passage. The glory of the new covenant. The glorious new covenant ministry. I've tried to engage in it in this brief discourse. I go on trying to write it and declare it, trying to live it and enjoy it and to bask in the sunshine of it. And one day, this new covenant tells me, God by Christ will take me into everlasting glory to enjoy the benefits of this new covenant forever. Unbeliever, this is what you need to be delivered from law and sin and death and sin and self. And Christ, Christ alone can do it. If you trust him now, will you not trust him now? You too will become a child of the new covenant. With all the benefits and blessings and all the glory that belongs to the new covenant in Christ Jesus. Amen.